If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
I want to read just two verses, very familiar verses. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and verse 6. It says this, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight." May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word this morning. The title of my message is just very simply the words here from verse 5. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. No doubt you're familiar with the phrase, "In God we trust." Those four words first appeared on the 2-cent piece in 1864 when, at the height of the Civil War, a strong Christian movement was made to recognize our nation's trust in Almighty God. Although the words "In God we trust" were minted on a number of coins after that, it was not until July 11, 1955 that President Dwight David Eisenhower signed Public Law 140, making it mandatory that all U.S. coinage and currency display that motto, "In God we trust." That short but simple motto reminds us that our trust is not in man, nor is our trust in any governmental or financial institution, but our trust is in Almighty God. But for those of us who are Christians, those words, "In God we trust," are much more than a motto. They are a way of life. Amen? But trust can be hard sometimes. As a matter of fact, we live in a day and an age of cynicism and distrust. 5 decades of opinion polling have revealed a startling trend in American society that most people do not trust others as much as they once did. Polls have revealed a constant slide in the level of trust since the 1960s. When asked whether most people can be trusted, 53% of Americans in 1964 said yes. But by 1971, the number was down to 49%, down to 44% in 1980, down to 39% in 1991, and in 2002, only 35% agreed that most people can be trusted. Tom Smith, director of General Social Survey at the University of Chicago's National Opinion Research Center, said, "We are talking a 20% point drop, and the majority of Americans have switched positions from optimistic to pessimistic." A 2016 poll has revealed that now less than a third of all Americans feel like they can trust the people around them, and millennials believe other people can be trusted at an even smaller rate than the general population. For them, it is only 19% of people who can be trusted. According to David Brooks in the New York Times, there is a rising culture of paranoia and conspiracy mongering and a surge of unmerited cynicism among all ages. Yet in the midst of all this comes the message, the unchanging message of God's eternal word, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. This morning, I want to break down these two verses of Proverbs chapter 3. And I want to answer the question, what is involved in trusting in the Lord? What is involved in trusting in the Lord? We hear that phrase, we know this scripture, but how many know it's one thing to hear it, it's another thing to do it? It's one thing to intend to trust in the Lord. It's another thing to fully trust in Him. What is involved in trusting in the Lord? Well, the first thing is this. It's that we must trust in Him entirely. The writer says, "Trust in the Lord with all heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Psalm 9, verse 9 says, those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2, that great psalm says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Isaiah 12, 2 says, surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4 say, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord is the rock eternal. Trusting in the Lord means not trusting him just a little bit. Not just trusting him for the most part. It means trusting in him with all your heart. Trusting in him entirely. Trusting in him completely. It's easy to say we trust him for some things. But there are other things in life we find a little hard to trust in God for. Some things we don't understand. Let me tell you, you can trust in the Lord. You may be here today and you may be able to rattle off a list of the people who failed you. You may be able, it may be on the tip of your tongue, the people who failed you. You may remember the names. You may see their faces this morning. You may be able to rattle off the dates and tell exactly what they did to you and how they betrayed your trust and how they failed you. I believe everyone here can say there's at least somebody or a few people or maybe many people who have failed us, amen, who have betrayed our trust. And what can happen with that if we're not careful is because a number of people have betrayed our trust, we become cynical. We become ultra-guarded and say, I don't believe I can trust anybody. Sure, what they're saying sounds good. What they're saying is appealing to my ear, but I've been burned so many times. I know better. I'm going to refuse to ultimately trust in anyone. Well, you know, maybe there's some justification for that. But let me say this without fear of contradiction. Though everybody on your left and your right may have failed you, may have betrayed you, may have betrayed your trust in them, I can say of a certainty, Almighty God has never failed you. Almighty God has never betrayed you. Hallelujah. When you put your trust in God with all your heart, He is faithful. How many know what I'm talking about this morning? Sometimes things don't work out the way we like them to. Sometimes we pray for things that we don't receive them, and there are reasons for that. But ultimately, you can trust in God. You can trust in Him with all of your heart. Heard a story about an English evangelist based in London. His name is Roger Whip. And Roger, for a time, was a member of the police force there in London. And he tells this testimony. He says, when I was a policeman, one of my evidence notebooks containing vital information went missing. This was probably the days before things were computerized. He said, I started to panic as in the UK, any verbal evidence written down must be shown if requested in its original form at court. And he said, the small voice of God prompted me to look in the what he called the confidential waste sack, a trash bin. He said, this was not a pleasant place. It was often filled with half-eaten sandwiches and empty drink cans. Not something you wanted to go digging around in. But apparently, one of his colleagues who knew he was a Christian and wasn't too happy about that had taken his evidence notebook and dumped it in the trash. And he said, you should have seen the look on his face when I fished it out. And I had it for court. And he said, after that, I became very careful to lock up my notebook in my drawer. He said, but one time I forgot to do that, and again, My evidence notebook went missing, he said, and I was in a panic. I didn't know what to do. He said, when I felt the still small voice of God speak to me and say, don't look for it, don't worry about it, trust me. So he said, that's exactly what I did. I trusted him and went on my way and didn't really think too much more about it. He said, but then 18 months later, court case came up, and I was summoned to court to give evidence that, yes, you guessed it, was in that missing notebook. And he said what made it worse is he said I had to drive out of town. It was at a distance with an unfamiliar presiding judge, one I didn't know. And he said, before I went to court, I asked the members of my church to pray, because that evidence in that notebook is always required to be given in court. He said, and I went to court the next day with fear and trepidation, and when I got there, I found out that the case was dismissed on a technicality unrelated to my evidence, and my testimony was not needed. And he said how amazing it was that a full 18 months earlier, God spoke to me and said, you won't need the notebook, trust me. God knew 18 months later that I would be able to trust in him. You see, we serve a God we can trust. We don't understand his ways. Scripture says his ways are not our ways. We don't always see everything that's coming our way, but that's where the trust comes in. Amen? Trust in him with all your heart. What are you holding back from in trusting him today? Where are you not fully placing your trust in him? Like we sang this morning, we can trust him because he is faithful. He is good. Amen? He is a wonderful God who loves us and wants nothing but the best for us. You can trust in him. Trust in him with all your heart. If there's a part of you, if you're here today and you say, Pastor Tim, I trust him. I trust him about 99.99% of the way. But there's that 0.01% that I just have a hard time trusting in him. I want to challenge you today to whatever that minuscule percentage may be to say, Lord, I'm going to trust in you with all my heart. I'm going to trust in you fully 100%. I'm going to give it all to you. Maybe there's something in your life and you haven't given it to him and you've been worrying and fretting and been anxiety filled over it. The Lord says today, give it to me. Trust me with all your heart. We must trust in him entirely this morning. The second thing that we learn here about what's involved in trusting in him is that we must trust in him exclusively. Trust in him exclusively. It says here, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. The word, the Hebrew word translated lean, sayon, means to support oneself, resting your weight against something to give it support. And the Hebrew word translated understanding, banya, means understanding, comprehension, discernment, or right action. Lean not on your own understanding. Don't put your weight, don't put your trust on, don't support yourself by your understanding of things. The very next verse from our passage, Proverbs 3:7, says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Proverbs 28:26. Listen to this. He who trusts in himself is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom is kept safe. I'm going to read that again. He who trusts in himself is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom is kept safe. I'm going to pray that as we go through our week this week, and we're tempted to trust in ourselves, that God's going to bring that, the first part of that verse, to our remembrance. Okay? We go to do something and we base it upon our limited understanding, and I pray that the Word of God crops up in our minds and our spirits, and we are reminded of the fact that he who trusts in himself is a fool. 2 Corinthians 3:5 says, not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. Hallelujah. It's tempting to lean on our own understanding, isn't it? Let me be clear this morning. Not leaning on your own understanding doesn't mean you turn into a mind-numbed robot. It doesn't mean you don't use the gray matter that's between your ears. I say that by faith. Hopefully we all have gray matter between our ears. No, I know we do. You wouldn't know it sometimes by the way some people do things. I include myself in that. But it doesn't mean that you don't think. It doesn't mean you don't use common sense. What it means is this. You recognize that your understanding is limited. Your perspective is limited. There's only so much you can see. Leaning on our own understanding is like driving to a destination in a strange city without GPS, without a map, without written directions, or without someone to tell us where to go. It is totally relying on our own intellect, which, as I said, is limited. We don't have all the facts as much as we think we do. A good example of this is, and there are many, many examples in Scripture. In the Garden of Eden, God had said not to eat of the fruit of knowledge of good and evil, but the serpent came to Eve and said, "Doesn't it look good?" And it says she saw that the fruit did look good. And so she took a bite and gave it to Adam, who never forgave her, probably. No probably about it. And men have been blaming their wives ever since. But that's a whole nother sermon. But they substituted their own understanding for what God had said. Another example is seen in Joshua chapter 7. After Joshua and his men had conquered through the power of God the great walled city of Jericho, they came to a little town called Ai. And they had just defeated Jericho, and they reasoned among themselves that they didn't need their whole army to conquer such a small city. Joshua and his military leaders said, "We can just send a few thousand troops and go and easily take this city." But their reasoning failed them, for they forgot that God was the one who gave them victory at Jericho, and they didn't realize that if they had sought God, He would have told them that there was sin in the camp and that God's blessing was not on them, and this small town of Ai routed the nation of Israel because they leaned on their own understanding and not on the word of the Lord. Whole books could be written on the complications that arise when we base important decisions on our own understanding and don't inquire of the Lord. Matter of fact, that is a repeated statement throughout the Old Testament. So-and-so failed to inquire of the Lord. It's a mistake that people have been making for thousands of years, and we continue to do so. The writer of Proverbs says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean. Don't put your weight on. Don't trust your future to your own understanding. Your understanding is limited. Your perspective is narrow. Trust in the Lord instead." I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I wonder how many of us can look back and think of important decisions we've made when we failed to ask the Lord. We failed to pray about it. I believe God wants consulting rights on every decision we make, don't you? Who we marry, where we live, where we go to church, decisions about how we raise our children, those decisions about those major financial purchases that are going to tie us down for years to come, those big loans we take out, those relationships, where we work, all those things. You see, we have a perspective, we have a viewpoint, and we might, you know, look at the pros and cons, and we might come to a decision based on our understanding, but the question remains to be asked, have you prayed about it? Have you sought the face of God? Have you sought the counsel of godly wisdom through godly counselors? Have you consulted the Lord, or have you just leaned on your own understanding? God wants us to trust in Him exclusively. And what I mean by that is God wants us to trust in Him ultimately and completely and know that He has the final word about every decision in our lives. Amen? We can trust in Him. The third thing we realize that's involved in trusting in Him is we must trust in Him extensively. Extensively. In all your ways, it says, acknowledge Him in all your ways. Now here in the latter half of the verse, the two words ways and paths are plural. In the plural, these words refer not collectively to the entire pathway of our lives, but to the individual steps of our lives, the individual decisions and directions that we make along the way. Thus, we are to acknowledge our Lord in every step, in every decision and direction that we take in our daily living. What does it mean to acknowledge Him? The word translated acknowledge from the Hebrew, yada, means to experience relationally, and it emphasizes the knowledge one has because of intimate experience. It is the same word used for marital intimacy in Scripture. In all your ways, in all your steps, and all your paths, in every decision, acknowledge Him. How do we do that? How do we acknowledge Him? I want to suggest three ways to you. Number one, we acknowledge His existence. You say, well, Pastor Tim, we're Christians. We know that God's there. Yeah, but we need to acknowledge that He's there. We must acknowledge that God actually exists and that He's God over all creation. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Acknowledge that God exists. Secondly, we acknowledge Him by acknowledging His presence. We must acknowledge that He is actually with us wherever we go, and He never leaves us or forsakes us. God's word to Joshua in Joshua 1:9 still rings true for us today. God said to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Isaiah 41:10 says, do not fear, for I am with you. Scripture says we walk by faith and not by sight. You say, Pastor Tim, sometimes I don't feel like the Lord is with me. Doesn't matter. He's with you. Yeah, but, you know, sometimes I just really feel Him near, and then other times I don't. I get it. I have the same experience, but it doesn't matter. He's with you. Say, but Pastor Tim, you don't understand. I'm going through this, and it's spiraling downward, and things seem like they're going from bad to worse. I it just doesn't seem like He's there. I get it, but it doesn't matter. He's with you. He's there. Whether we feel Him or whether we don't feel Him, whether we have goosebumps or whether we don't, whether our hair stands on end or it doesn't, He is with us. Hallelujah. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never abandon you. Hallelujah. But He is with us. What are you going through right now? What are you experiencing? What are you shedding tears over? What do you feel all alone about? I want you to know your God is with you. You need to acknowledge it. Lord, whether I feel you or not, Lord, you're with me. We acknowledge His existence. We acknowledge His presence. Thirdly, we acknowledge Him by acknowledging His lordship. In every step that we take in our daily walk, our Lord is not simply with us to help us along the way, though He does that, but He is with us to direct us. He is the Lord, our God, and we must acknowledge the lordship authority of His will and direction in all of our ways. Proverbs 16:9 says, in his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. Another scripture says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord orders our steps. The Lord plots our course. The Lord charts our path. Amen? Amen. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, in every area, in every decision, in every step. He's there for you. And He wants to direct your steps. An old Model T Ford years ago was pulled off to the side of the road with its hood up. And a young man was trying desperately to get it running. He had been working at it for a long time without any success when a beautiful chauffeur-driven limousine stopped behind him and a well-dressed man got out. He watched the fellow working for a while. Finally, he suggested that he make a minor adjustment in one part. The young man was skeptical. What does this guy know about cars? But nothing else had worked, so he did what he was told. Now the well-dressed man said to him, your car will run, crank it up. So the man cranked it once, and sure enough, the engine purred and started running as good as new. The young man was amazed that this kind of man knew so much about cars, so he asked him, how did you know exactly what to do? Well, the other man said, my name is Henry Ford. I made the car, so I know all about how it works. Let me tell you, your creator, your maker, knows all about how your life should work. He's the maker, he's the designer, he is the creative force behind your life. And he knows the side of the road, but if you and I would just listen to him, if we would acknowledge him in all our ways, if we would say, God, your way is best. God, you know what my next step needs to be. God, you know what the adjustment needs to be in my life. God, you know what change needs to be made in my life. Lord, I acknowledge you. I acknowledge that you're there. I acknowledge that you're with me. I acknowledge that you are Lord over every decision in my life. I turn it afresh over to you. God, I put my trust in you. Hallelujah. Trust him in every area. Maybe there's an area you're holding back. Trust him in that area. You know, we feel more competent in some areas than others, don't we? Sometimes we have the attitude, God, okay, man, God, you really helped me in that area. God, I'm okay in this area. Man, when I get in a spot, though, God, you're going to be the first one I call. Whether we feel like we're in a spot or not, he should be the first one we call. Amen? Because he is our maker. Are you trusting him in every area of your life? Are you acknowledging him with every step that you take this morning? Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Fourth thing we need to understand about trusting in the Lord is we must trust in him expectantly. Acknowledge him in every area, and he will make your paths straight. He will make your path straight. Now, making one's path straight is language that depicts making a pathway smooth. You know, they say the shortest distance between two spaces is a straight line. God, when the scripture says God will make our path straight, it means he will make our way clear. He will make a pathway where we need one to be made. Psalm 32, verse 8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Isaiah 48, 17, I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. Isaiah 30, verse 21, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. When we turn our life over to him, when we turn our situation over to him, we can trust in him. I like the story of Peter when he had been arrested and he was put in prison and he was chained and there were guards there. And you know the story how the church, it says, was praying for him and God sent an angel to come and to deliver him. You know what the first thing the angel did when he got in the cell? He slapped Peter on the side and woke him up. Now, the next day was execution day. I don't know about you, but if I knew I was going to be executed tomorrow, I don't think I'd be sleeping a whole lot. Would you? No, you wouldn't. Peter's there sleeping, chained to guards. Sure, it wasn't comfortable. Tomorrow was execution day. Peter's there asleep. The angel wakes him up. Guards are still asleep and sets him free from his chains, leads him out through the locked doors, and sets him free. Sleeping in the midst of trial because he could trust his future to Almighty God. Trust in the Lord. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will make your paths straight. In an article in Christianity Today, Mark Galley wrote that at one point in the movie Patton, how many have seen the movie Patton? Few of you have. General Omar Bradley tells General George Patton that Patton may be given a crucial assignment, leading troops in the invasion of Europe during World War II. Though he had played a decisive role in the battle for Africa and in the invasion of Sicily, Patton at this time was more or less cooling his heels in England. He was suspended, so to speak, because he had slapped a soldier at a field hospital. He had a bit of a temper, General Patton. So he was pretty much just in England, as I said, cooling his heels, kind of on suspension. So when he heard this news from General Bradley that he might get back into action, he was thrilled. He was anxious to get back into the thick of the battle. But General Bradley said that no final decision has been made. It's in the hands of General George Marshall. Now, Patton, who was chomping at the bit, was a man of action to get back into battle. When he heard that the decision was up to General George Marshall, he calmed down, which was unusual for him. He said of General Marshall, "He's a good man. At least he's a fair man. I'll let it sit with him." And he based that on his knowledge of General Marshall as a fair man and how Marshall comported himself in action. "I'll let it rest with him." Let me tell you, we serve someone far greater than General George Marshall. And the decisions that affect our lives, we can let them rest with him. Because when we trust in him expectantly, he will make our path straight. Oh, there may be some bumps. There may be some potholes along the path. There may be some challenges. There may be some troubles. But if we trust in him, he's going to make a straight path. He's going to make a way. Listen, I'm like you. Troubles come that kind of come out of left field, come out of the blue, and you just say, "Why? Why me? Why now? Why this? Why do I have to deal with this?" And how many know, we've said this many, many times, they don't come one at a time, they come in clusters. Am I right? And it's just like your normal to-do list got set aside and it became replaced by a problem-solving list. You know, what do I need to tackle first? And you can be overwhelmed. That's where trust in him comes in. "Lord, you said if I trust in you, you're going to make my path straight. You're going to make a way through this problem. You're going to make a way to the other side. You're going to bring me out." The scripture says of Job, who went through unbelievable sorrow and pain and suffering, that the end of Job was better than the beginning. He was better off after the trial than before the trial even started. Because God brings us through trials, he makes us better. Hallelujah. Come on. How many know what I'm talking about this morning? God's going to make a way through your problem. You say, "I can't see a way." Doesn't matter. God has a Holy Ghost bulldozer. He makes a way where there is no way. Come on, church. God makes a way through your problem. God makes a way through your desert. God makes a way through your thorny issue. God makes a way through your mountain this morning. God makes a way through your problem. God will make your path straight. And you and I need to pray to him in faith. We need to develop the mindset that says, "Lord, I'm turning this over to you. I've done all I can do. Lord, I'm going to believe you to make a way where there is no way. I'm going to let it sit with you. I'm going to lay it at your feet. I'm going to trust you with my future. I'm going to trust you to make a way where there is no way." Hallelujah. You can trust in the Lord this morning. You can trust in the Lord. Oh, sometimes it may not seem like it, but I want you to know, trust that's put in him is never misplaced. Hallelujah. What's involved in trusting the Lord? We need to trust Him entirely, with our whole heart. I love the word of the man who came to Jesus for prayer for his son. And Jesus said, "Do you believe?" He said this. You know this. He said this. He said, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." I believe you, Lord. But Lord, if there's a part of me that's holding back, if there's a part of me that's not trusting you completely, Lord, help me to trust you all the way. Lord, help me to trust in you 100%. Some of you need to pray that prayer today. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Help that part of me that's holding back. Help my part of me that's hedging my bet a little bit and saying, "Lord, I believe, but this area, I don't know." Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Help me trust in you with my whole heart. Help me trust in you, not 99.99999 infinity percent. Lord, help me trust in you 100%. We must trust in Him entirely. We must trust in Him exclusively. Some of you are here this morning. I made a reference earlier to complications that arise because we trust in our own understanding. I have no doubt that every one of us, I don't usually speak for you, but I'll speak for you and for me today. All of us can point to instances in our life when we leaned on our own understanding and it got us into a place we didn't want to be. Because we're human beings, that's what we do. Lord, help me not to rely solely on my understanding. Help me not to trust completely in my limited perspective, but Lord, help me to trust in you. What area of your life have you been leaning on your own understanding and not turned it over to God? We must trust in Him extensively, with every decision, every step, in all our ways, the big and the small. Sometimes we pray over things and we do so kind of generically. Lord, just bless this endeavor. Bless this thing. Bless what I'm about to do. Someone well said one time, instead of praying, "Lord, bless what I'm about to do, Lord, help me to," we should pray, "Lord, help me to do what you want to bless." In every step, acknowledge Him. Acknowledge that He's there. Acknowledge that He's with you. Acknowledge that He is Lord over your decisions. And we must trust Him expectantly. Believe that He's going to bring us through. We may not know how. We may not see a path. We may not see an answer. Things may seem to go from bad to worse. Hallelujah. But God's still on the throne. Come on, church. We either believe this or we don't. We either believe this or we don't. I believe it's time for the church to stop giving lip service to trusting in God. I believe we need to. I love the words of this song. Stephen Curtis Chapman, a few years ago, put out a song entitled "Take Another Step." He said, "When it's dark and it's stormy and the road is out and you don't know where to go," he said, "just take another step. Take another step in faith. Take another step in trusting God." Hallelujah. Trust in the Lord. You can trust in the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.